Now, a lot of people may say, Gloria, why is this important? What happened to Marilyn Monroe? Why are they bringing it out now? Everything's coming out now. You remember we said this is show and tell time. Everything is going to come out, and it is important to know whether Marilyn Monroe was murdered or the President of the United States was murdered. It is important because when people want power and they behave in such a way, they do not deserve the power and they shouldn't be protected. I don't care who you think about in terms of a good candidate, if they can't behave consistently. This is a revolution. It is a war. And we want to keep it from being as bloody a war as possible. But in order to fight it, you have to use your wits and your brains and stick with the kind of behavior where you don't kill people to gain your power and get up to the top that way. There's no way that you can get away with it, and Robert Kennedy didn't. Now, your station has collected hundreds of telegrams to object to the testing, the end testing up in Alaska. And I wanted to read on the air the statement of the judge and analyze with you again what is going on in the minds of this country. I could have what I call an idiot hour on double talk. One example of that, and we'll get to back to it again in a minute, was when Richard Nixon made his appointment for Justice of the Supreme Court. He turned in the name of six people that he was considering, and then he very quickly switched and named two others and went on the television, and I saw him, and he gave a long speech about how important it is to have the best man for the job. And the ones that he selected as the best possible men to fit the job were his second choice. So what is he doing to the nation if the best people are his second choice? Why did he try to give us the other ones, you know, and humiliate them publicly? If he could get by with a mediocre, he'd do it. But if we didn't want that, he'd give us the best second choice, which he passes off as the best, you know. I don't even think they're a good choice, but we'll do something on that. But the judge, I want to share the inconsistency of public officials, because this is what I'm trying to break down for the young people that are listening and really get their head straight where it's at. Before the Federal Court of Appeals, the matter came up of whether or not they should proceed with the testing of this terrible bomb. And the judge said it lies beyond his providence, that he cannot make a decision when national security is involved. So they took the matter to a three-judge panel, the U.S. Court of Appeals, and they said, look, the problems that involved in using this bomb have not been made available to the people. This country is run by a majority, and if the people knew the consequences, maybe they would have an opinion on how to stop this thing, that the president is not just running this show himself. If the information of the danger to the environment were made available and not locked up, on the excuse that national security means we need this weapon, the majority of people would not want the testing, and the majority should have a say-so. In order to not let you be informed, they locked up the information that was detrimental. And this three-judge panel once again said that they're not in a position to read this information if the president said that national security was involved. But the court ruled this. This was their final summation after they rejected the appeal to get the information available to everybody. The court rejected the government's claim that the official documents pertaining to the test could remain secret under the protection of executive privilege. It challenged the government's contention that Nixon's decision could not be questioned by Congress or the courts. Now, let me repeat again. The court is saying that the people have a right to question by the court, and when they took it to the court, he turned them down, and now he's going to scold the power of Nixon, but he's giving him the power. Now, this is what the court said, in quotes, "No executive official or agency can be given absolute authority to determine what documents in his possession may be considered by the court in its task. Otherwise, the head of an executive department would have the power on his own say-so to cover up all evidence of fraud and corruption when a federal court or grand jury was investigating malfeasance in office, and this is not the law." Now, he's saying no executive should have the power. the power is too great. If he had the power to cover up some things, he could cover up fraud and corruption, and that the law does not say he can cover up. And then the same judge says the Congress and the court should have a right to bypass the president. There shouldn't be secrets under the protection of executive privilege. Then the judge says, I go ahead with the bombing. I don't need the material. And what was worse, when the three judges made this decision, they handed it down unsigned. They wouldn't even sign their name to it. Now, this is where we'll have to get, I'm going to stop being, you know, I'm going to be with the street people. I'm stop being intellectual. I never was. And I've got, if I just can convince five people through this show, or 25, or 50, to take their own head, I refer to their gray matter, and unscramble this kind of talk where the judge is saying Congress and the people should know the president has too much power and too much executive privilege. And then he says, on the other hand, the president can proceed. Now, call this nation what it is. Call it what it is. But don't confuse yourselves on it. Now, what is the bomb that's going off? It's been delayed now till Friday. It's up in Alaska. The blast is equal in power to 5 million tons of TNT. It's 250 times greater than the atomic bomb in Hiroshima. 250 times greater. It's going to make a cavern in the ocean floor 100 feet deep and 1 mile wide. And the blast will be 3 million degrees of temperature. 3 million degrees of temperature, the same as the temperature on the surface of the sun. And there will be 10 billion pounds of dynamite. 5 million tons of TNT and 10 billion pounds of dynamite. The argument against the bombing was the testing of this nuclear bomb under the water was that it would trigger earthquakes, tidal waves, destroy marine life and wildlife. If I list four things like an earthquake, can you evaluate the damage, or a tidal wave? One tidal wave killed 10,000 people yesterday in India. 10,000 people died from a tidal wave forced by nature. The second argument was that the disarmament talks that are going on around the world that have to go on would make this kind of weapon totally unnecessary later. This, for our ABM system, we wouldn't even be able to use it. If we're talking about disarmament, see if you can sign an agreement first and save your effort. Now, Richard Nixon is spending $100 million a year on the nuclear test program. Get a pencil and write down $100 million on this test program alone and ask him if he could rebuild, say, all the prisons in the United States for $100 million and have facilities and yards and housing and train guards and psychiatrists and social workers and parole boards and young students and ombudsmen working in the prison. $100 million alone for nuclear testing, and we already have enough to blow up the world over and over and over again. So this year, 100 million in testing. Now, the argument against this kind of thing is that it's going to kill up in the northern area, in Japan possibly, Alaska, Canada, eagles, falcons, salmon, cod, halibut, filet of sole, sea lions, sea otters, not to speak of what's going to happen in the air and under the sea afterwards. What is the reason? What is the reason the president gives for having to continue? Three reasons. One, it gives us clues on how our offensive missiles would survive an enemy ABM. With the stupidity that runs this country, you don't need enemies. You don't need China and Russia using an ABM. They may be developing something. I can't believe that with the people that are running this country, it won't fall flat, bankrupt, depleted, morally drained, a revolution on the streets. You don't need communists telling us something's wrong here. The people among themselves, I just have to see it. I'm not a member of the Communist Party, and I'm not in on ABM coming over from Russia on you. I can tell you we're falling apart. The worst weapons that are coming down on us are people like Richard Nixon. His second excuse for doing this, to see if our warhead design is correct.
I thought this was an obsolete missile that they were testing.
Oh, you know, Gloria, the F-5, there was a big thing about building the F-5 airplane, the jet planes. And they went ahead and did those, and every one of them is falling apart, and the engines are falling off. And do you have to build, you know, 40 airplanes at $20 or $30 million each to find out they're not correct? We're finding out they're not correct, or the F-111. And to find out if this is correct, what if it's not correct? In fact, I have a standing joke with a very good friend of mine about the F-111s when the contract came in down in Fort Worth area, because it involved people. We watched it closely because it involved the Dallas-Fort Worth area at the time that Kennedy was killed and Fred Korth, who was Secretary of the Navy, and the controversy of giving that plane contract to General Dynamics always interested us. So we watched these F-111s blowing up, you know, not with glee, but with a very sad comment, because there was so much controversy that they were not good planes. And last week there was an article in the newspaper saying the F-111 turns out to be our best plane, don't malign it, because they've only had 15 crashes, total 15. But it goes into the other airplanes, they have certain numbers like F-24s, I don't have the list in my mind of all the different planes, and one type of plane, 34, exploded, another time, 46. Another plane like these new fighters, the jets, the F-5, 11 have gone or 6 have gone. Numerically, the F-111's ahead because all the others are blowing up. 11 of one kind.
Well, it's newer also.
Well, what they're trying, this is the best because the others aren't making it at all. And billions of dollars. Well, Richard Nixon, getting back to his reasons for doing the testing, his reasons, I gave you 1 and 2. It'll tell you how the offensive missiles will survive the enemy. 2, if our warhead design is correct. And 3, it would give a better hand at the table with the Soviet Union. He said, in quotes, "If I were the Soviets, I'd take the U.S. a lot less seriously if there were no Kanakin test." That is the mentality. When I talk about this 19th century mind running Washington, he means that when he sits and talks with the Soviets, that they will be afraid of us, and Japan will be afraid of us. Everyone hates us. They're not so much afraid of us. We can destroy the entire earth and all the fish and rice and rubber, and we're doing it. And one of the things we have to keep getting back to, assassinations and military coups and the elections in 72, and the talk that there will be no candidates or no issues if the Vietnam War is over. This is a warfare state. It is a warfare state from the word go, and there is no indication that to pull those troops out of Vietnam is going to end the mentality of Richard Nixon and his team.
Mate, do you know, have they found any indication that there may be oil up in Alaska?
Well, we know there's oil in Alaska, but I don't know how this bombing will...
I just wonder if that connects anyway.
No, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of oil, and there's a lot of, you know, argument about how to bring it in and how to channel it out, and will it ruin the land, you know, the way they're going after it. Oh, sure, there's oil in Alaska. You know, you don't become a 50th state because you just have Eskimos. You know, you can believe that there's oil and wealth there, but they're just taking the sea and everything that comes south. We're on the beach here, you know. We should care anyway, even if we lived in Milwaukee. But we're in Garmel, right on the edge of the water. And everything, the sea life and everything, that it has a chance of being ruined. Now, when you tamper with the elements with that much in the ocean, you have to have repercussions. You have to, again, I quote back to Buckminster Fuller, because everything has a relationship to the other thing. You know, he says that everything is related. Every action has a consequence of that act. And you can't sit back with men like Richard Nixon making these major decisions and giving them carte blanche. Now, I talk week after week about the Los Angeles Police Department and wanting to know who's running that and if there was a murder to kill Robert Kennedy. And if people don't want to know how Richard Nixon came into power, then they have to accept the atomic testing, because it's a consequence of that power. You have to say... first find out who's running the country and how they got there, and then I'll give them the right to do any testing they want if they think it's in the best interest of the country. But to watch people move into positions of power when the source of that power has never been examined by the people, then the people are getting what they deserve. So my information is coming out to you, and you have to take it from there. You know, like I said before we went on the show, Gloria, a little quiz in American history. How many times did Paul Revere run through the town?
One time.
One time. I mean, some of you listen to one show, you may never hear me again, and maybe this is the one, or maybe you took one before and you didn't take it seriously, but the bell was ringing and the horse was running and I'm yelling. And if you don't believe me, just remember someday, you know, if you can't affect changes or if you think you can't, just remember that I heard it somewhere, you know, and if you're sitting in the paddy wagon or there's a stick on your head or they're rounding you up because provocateurs have pretended that a crisis occurred, just remember a show you heard where Mae Brussel was telling you how these people got their power and how you didn't believe her and how you couldn't see any way to effect the changes. We'll rap about that on NBC and other shows. There are ways to effect changes, and keep writing to Washington. If just say, I hear this show, and why won't you examine her material? Write to your congressman. I haven't suggested that for a long time. People should be writing and saying, if there were conspiracies, why do we talk about the next election? Let's solve the last one. Now, in Los Angeles this week, Lori, there was an article in the LA Times, a major scandal in the Hollywood Detective Division. Chief of Police Davis is investigating, I'm reading in quotes the article from the LA Times, Chief of Police Davis is investigating a major scandal that's been going on for 6 weeks. It is very complex. If the department finds criminal activities, it will take the matter to the district attorney. They revealed Wednesday that a Hollywood Detective Division was going into the audits of members of the Hollywood Police Department, and their files have been impounded, and it involves payoffs and the release of suspects that they arrest, and they accept money as payoffs and let the suspects go. There are 59 detectives in the division of the Los Angeles Police Department and 40 in the Hollywood division of the police department, and 40 men are investigating 59 detectives. Now, they also are going into the problem of a rumor that they are test firing from officers' guns. Now, this goes into the Sirhan case. But what I want to say is the Chief of Police Davis is making a smokescreen that there's a scandal in the Hollywood Detective Division. Now, what we've charged on the show, and we should do it every week, is that Barbara Blair made charges against the Los Angeles Police Department itself and Mr. Davis for withholding information on the Robert Kennedy murder. The second point I want to make is that Lewis Tackwood, the agent provocateur that I spoke about a few weeks ago, has charged that he was hired by the Los Angeles Police Department to kill innocent people, to start race wars, to snoop on the Berkeley City Council elections, and to plant violence in 1972 at the time of the nomination so the police could round up radicals. The third point I want to make is that Chief of Police Davis is himself a defendant in a suit in Los Angeles placed by Theodore Chirac for withholding information on the murder of Robert Kennedy. And in that suit, the name of the man who is allegedly the murder of Robert Kennedy is specified. Now, the smokescreen that Chief of Police Davis is using is that we're going to investigate the Hollywood Detective Division. I'm waiting for somebody with an ounce of brains and intelligence to say who is going to investigate the Los Angeles Police Department. And the solution then would be that you'd find out what the Hollywood boys are doing when you find out what the real problems are in Los Angeles. This idiot, crazy world is all mixed up. This is why Jim Garrison said when you get into political assassinations and who runs the government or who is telling you the truth, it's an Alice in Wonderland trip. It's an LSD trip on your own. You don't have to take any sugar cubes at all. It is a ridiculous, mixed up thing where he is looking for one little branch for misconduct, and he isn't going where the real action is. One quick remark about the inauguration of Mr. Thu down in Vietnam this week. It's appropriate that John Connally be there for the ceremony. There was a cartoon in the paper of Ronald Reagan with his arm around Thu, and Spiro Agnew with his arm around Papadopoulos, and these two little military men were just covered over by these great Americans, and they're standing on a globe of the earth, and over the globe it says the oppressed people. And our two monkeys were junking back and forth, you know, with their great salutations and greetings from America. So who is more appropriate to inaugurate Mr. Thu than our great Connally, John Connally, Secretary of the Treasury? But when John Connally went into Saigon, they had so much security that the place looked like an armed fortress, and there were army troops with M16 rifles and bayonets up and down the street and over the rooftops overlooking the inauguration. And the news account said that they checked, the troops patrolled the rooftops, pried up the manholes, and stopped the motorists. Now, that's very appropriate that John Connally should have that protection, because he knows what the manhole did in front of the book depository in Dallas, Texas. I was in Dallas, and Penn Jones, the researcher and writer, lifted up the manhole to show me how, like, the streets of Paris where the sewers connect, it goes right to the Lincoln Mercury building across the street where Nazis and fascists worked, and a gunman could shoot right to the ear of Kennedy and blow it off right from the manhole, and Miss Connally completely. So it's interesting, when the President of the United States goes down the street, nobody ever looked into the manhole at all with all the people on the street, or was on a rooftop or in a building, or particularly when there was so much trouble in Dallas and he was warned over and again not to go. When they don't do that for John Kennedy, but when John Connally comes to Saigon, they look in the manholes and on the rooftops, because he already knows where the assassins stand, you see. He's been through this trip. So they give through the protection that he should have. At the inauguration, Mr. Key wasn't there, and Mr. Thu's opponent wasn't there, because he says it's just a rigged election that no one could accept. This is coming out of Vietnam, that the major opponent, the man who led the coup against Diem, Mr. Duong Van Minh, I don't know if I pronounced that right, said the occasion called for a political solution to the war and charged the current situation in the country as more dangerous than it was in 1963 when they had the coup against Diem. And Mr. Minh pulled out of the presidential race because Thu had rigged the election. So he had a news conference with 50 of his league and these very gentle people who planned the military coup against Diem, and said someday they want a democratic government, but it's been virtually extinguished by Thu's uncontested election. He said the election was a comedy, and no one in his right mind could accept it. So Mr. Key wasn't there, and Mr. Minh wasn't there, but John Connally was there. And that tells you where his head is at. If you can't put that all together, heaven help you. You know, I can't spell it all for you. Now, one of the biggest pieces of hypocrisy, if we have time, I'll just say it very quickly, was Jack Anderson had an article about Representative Richard Poff in the paper this morning. Poff was supposed to be selected for a position on the Supreme Court by Richard Nixon. And after two or three days, when it was whispered his name was suggested, he withdrew because he said he didn't want his family to get involved in the kind of embarrassment that an investigation on his background would call for. Well, Jack Anderson has an article this morning that Richard Poff's one ambition in life, that he confided, "I'd rather be on the Supreme Court than President of the United States." And yet he turned it down. Why did he turn it down? I have an opinion that I've read in other papers that he didn't want an investigation on his life, and that several people are saying, well, what is there about Richard Poff that we should know? If he's still in a position of power in the government, why wouldn't we know the reason he turned it down now? He's still serving as a public servant. So Jack Anderson covers up the reason, any reasons for going into the background of Poff, who he calls the Howard Hughes of politics. Now that tells you where Poff is at. And what are his reasons? Number one, that Poff has an adopted son, and he didn't want the 12-year-old boy to know he was adopted. So if he was nominated for the Supreme Court, then an investigation may show he's adopted. Well, you know, that has to be just so much phony baloney, because here Jack Anderson's writing an article, the whole nation, the kid's adopted, so the man may as well be on the Supreme Court anyway. And then it says Poff went to a psychiatrist who said they'd rather wait till Tommy was 17 or 18. I hardly believe that a psychiatrist today doesn't tell everybody to say your child is adopted. That tells you where Mr. Poff's head is at, too, another 19th century mind, because they practically tell the child when it comes home. The other reason for not accepting his investigation or the job on the Supreme Court is, in quotes, his wife was going to have minor surgery. Now, what has that got to do? This isn't a cover-up. And the third reason was that their daughter, Becky, was about to have a child, and she may have complications aggravated by the publicity of her father. Now, just sit back once again and call this a sensitivity training in modern news, or opening up your awareness. A man who has said many times his one ambition would be a justice on the Supreme Court turns down even the nomination, his name isn't nominated, because number one, his son will find out he's adopted, which the whole world knows now. Number two, his wife is going to have minor surgery. And three, his daughter's pregnant. And in the same article, he refers to him as the Howard Hughes of politics. So if you want to accept that as truth, that's another little factor. You can accept it. I don't. And you can go on from there. The last show, Glory, we talked about the committee to investigate J. Edgar Hoover. Did you save some of those articles this week?
Yes.
Did you see the copy of the letter J. Edgar Hoover sent defending himself?
Yes, I did.
It's the first time that the FBI has been put under scrutiny after all these years. And J. Edgar Hoover is 76. And I told you I was feeling a little sorry for him last week.
Well, that's your prerogative.
Yeah. Well, I was saying a little far. At the hearings at Princeton, where the committee of 50 people were listening to victims of J. Edgar Hoover, one young fellow got up to say that he was hired by the FBI to plant bombs, to get a person to plant bombs under a bridge, and then the bomb would kill the unsuspecting man who planted the explosive. I'll read the quotes. Two FBI informants, one of whom said he committed numerous felonious crimes with the knowledge and consent of the FBI agents in Seattle, Washington area. One of the crimes included planning a bombing design to kill the unsuspected man who planted the explosive. End quote. Why wouldn't Lee Harvey Oswald be killed after he said he was innocent and lived 2 days? If you can kill the man that you hire to plant a bomb to make it look like the radicals did it, and killed the man so he can never talk, why wouldn't you kill the decoy in the John Kennedy when he becomes a patsy? Then he can't talk either. You see, I know this happened, but now I'm showing you the way the informants are testifying before 50 people at Princeton University. When Colombo, we've referred to this before, Colombo, the mafia, chief was speaking in a large meeting in New York. He was gunned down. He's in a coma. His son said immediately, the FBI and the CIA, the same people that killed John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, shot at my father. They wanted to look like the mafia are fighting with each other. And the son is on public record for saying this is the way it happens. But the men who are doing the shooting are talking now. See, I know through my research that it had to happen this way. And now the people are talking up and say, I'm hired by the FBI. Another man, an agent, said that he approved of the suggestion of the FBI to lure defendants into a trial last year of the Seattle 8 and making them obstruct justice so they can say these people are obstructing justice. And he also said the FBI approved the suggestions that he was to entrap a radical into bombing a bridge, but he quit only when he was informed that he was to fix the bomb, that it would kill the man who planted it. Now, why is J. Edgar Hoover bombing bridges? I have said on the show, and I'm going to have to repeat myself more and more, I think, and you'll have to bear with me, the FBI is to collect information on people that do crimes. The CIA is to gather intelligence. Until you realize that your agencies or your public officials continue to commit crimes against society, who goes to work on that bridge? People can't get across. Maybe there's no boat. Maybe it has to be rebuilt. People lose money. Jobs are held up. And they begin to hate the radicals because the radicals have bombed their bridge, and they say, we have to lock them up. We have to have protection. The kids are going too far. The kids are dangerous. Where are the people that speak up now when they say the FBI hired them to bomb the bridge? Where are the law and order men? Where is Ronald Reagan and Elville Younger now, and all the other public officials, Spiro Agnew, when they find out that the FBI bombs a bridge and kills the man who bombed it so you won't know it was the FBI? And now the man who hired the man to bomb the bridge and